90.3 867 1190
Near FM.
God Talk with Anthony Brabazon, talking about Jesus, died, buried, risen, and relevant.
I wanna go deeper.
Hello there, everybody, and it is 5 o'clock on a Monday. Here we are live in Studio One Near FM, Northeast Access Radio, here broadcasting to North Dublin, Northeast Dublin to be technically precise, but also worldwide, of course, through the internet. And great to have you, and thanks for listening. So today we've got a lot of different bits and pieces, but I hope you enjoyed last week's. We did a feature on Elvis Presley's backing band called the Jordanaires, and fascinating stuff there. And what really fascinated me, I suppose, most of all, was Elvis himself. His resistance to Ed Sullivan, who didn't want him to sing a spiritual song on the TV, but Elvis wanted to. He wanted to sing it and sing it for his mother and sing it for the Lord, and he did. And the Jordanaires, of course, backing him. They, of course, not only were they gifted with their harmonies and their voices and their basses and tenors and everything in there, but they truly had a heart for the Lord. And some of the pieces. Some of the pieces we played were just them alone in latter years singing spiritual songs. And it's great in America to see that tradition of gospel song deeply rooted there. And we have a bit of it over in Ireland too, which is great, and hopefully a lot more. So anyway, that's that last week. And this week, before I get stuck into the main theme, I do want to touch on a topic. And recently in Nigeria, there was a horrific terrorist attack on a Catholic church where many were killed. And there was a response by our own president, because there was a great Irish link to this particular church, with Irish missionaries having set it up, etc. And so I'm going to... Lizanne has had a piece for us here. It's just it was written by David Turner from our good friends in Church in Chains. And on occasion, we do touch on this programme on God Talk. We do talk about the persecuted church, because, maybe it's because so few others do talk about it, and yet it's a growing and a real reality today. So it's a sombre message, but let's just listen to it for the moment, and then we'll continue the rest of the programme.
The Roman Catholic Bishop of Ondo, Dr. Jude Arogundade, has criticised President Michael D. Higgins for suggesting climate change may have been a factor in the massacre of 40 people at St. Francis Xavier Catholic Church in the Owo district of Ondo Diocese, southwest Nigeria, on Sunday, June the 5th. The well-planned attack took place near the end of a Pentecost Sunday Mass. In addition to those killed, over 120 people were injured by guns or bombs. The scale of the casualties led to widespread international condemnation, including from President Higgins, who issued a statement in which he said that such an attack was made in a place of worship, and that it is a source of particular condemnation, as is any attempt to scapegoat pastoral peoples who are among the foremost victims of the consequences of climate change. He said, "The neglect of food security issues in Africa for so long has brought us to a point of crisis that is now having internal and regional effects based on struggles and ways of life themselves. The solidarity of us all, as peoples of the world, is owed to all those impacted not only by this horrible event, but in the struggle by the most vulnerable, on whom the consequences of climate change have been inflicted." Dr. Arogundade's response on social media began by thanking President Higgins for his condolences, but he then said that he wanted to, quote, "set the record straight." He said, "The massacre at St. Francis Church, Owo, has nothing to do with climate change and food security issues in Africa. To suggest or make a connection between victims of terror and consequences of climate change is not only misleading, but also rubbing salt to the injuries of all who have suffered terrorism in Nigeria. Dr. Arul Gundade pointed to the many historical connections between Ireland and the Diocese of Ondo. He said the first two bishops of the Diocese of Ondo were Irishmen. The church building in which the attack took place was built by Irish missionaries, and some of the people killed were baptized, confirmed, and married by many venerable Irish missionaries, he said. The victims of terrorism, and indeed all the people of Nigeria, would be thankful if world leaders propose fruitful ideas to the government of Nigeria on how to protect the citizens and make Nigeria a safe place to live. This would be a better way of honouring the victims of hate and putting an end to the increasing killings, he added. Responding to Dr. Arul Gundade's statement, a spokesman for Mr. Higgins told the Irish Times, "The President's comments with regard to climate change related to the plight of pastoral peoples in the region, and the President made no link in his statement between climate change and the attack itself. The President has utterly and unequivocally condemned the attack on St. Francis Catholic Church in Owo, Nigeria, and expressed his particular horror that such an attack could happen in a place of worship." The spokesman said that President Higgins recognised the long connections between Ireland and the Diocese of Ondo, and once again offers his deepest condolences and solidarity to the families of those who lost their lives in this horrific, indefensible action, and all those impacted by the attack. A priest at the church, Reverend Andrew Abayomi, said that as the Pentecost Mass was coming to an end, the terrorists threw explosive devices on the church building and shot at worshippers. "We were in Mass when the terrorists attacked us," he said. "They shot at the congregation while breaking into the church by throwing improvised explosive devices at the church building. Some of us hid inside the church as they shot randomly at us. This lasted for about 20 minutes before they retreated." Videos of the interior of the church showed bodies of victims lying in pools of blood across the floor, and also bomb damage to the altar. A police spokesman said that the investigations had revealed that some of the gunmen were disguised as congregants, while other armed men had positioned themselves around the church premises from where they fired into the church. Police found three unexploded bombs inside the church building, as well as fragments of ammunition from an AK-47 rifle. The governor of Ondo State, Rotimi Akeredolu, described as a devoted Christian, wept as he visited the massacre site, and again as he visited the survivors in hospital. He described it as a Black Sunday in Owo, and said, "Our hearts are heavy. Our peace and tranquility have been attacked by the enemies of the people. We shall commit every available resource to hunt down these assailants and make them pay. We shall never bow to the machinations of heartless elements in our resolves to rid our state of criminals." The Catholic Diocese of Ondo has stated that the victims will be buried in a mass burial on Friday, June 17th. Unusually, no group has taken responsibility for the attack. Boko Haram, Islamic State West Africa Province, and militant Fulani herdsmen have all been active in neighbouring Kogi State. Adeyemi Olaemi, a local politician, said that Fulani terrorists were suspected, as they were likely retaliating for grazing restrictions implemented in response to an increase in kidnappings in the state. We have enjoyed improved security since herdsmen were driven away from our forests by this administration, Mr. Olaimi said. This is a reprisal attack to send a diabolical message to the governor. 4 days after the attack, Nigeria's federal government identified ISWAP, Islamic State, West Africa Province, as being responsible for the attack. Minister of Interior, Rauf Aregbesola, said security agencies were already on the trail of the culprits. He told reporters, "The National Security Council is concerned about the violent attack in Owo and have been able to locate the perpetrators of that horrendous attack. From all indications, we are zeroing in on Islamic State, West Africa Province. It is not an ethno-religious thing. The ISWAP, wanting attention and recognition, are suspected to have launched that attack. We have directed all the agencies concerned to go after them and bring them to justice." Minister Aregbesola stated that the group's activity has nothing to do with Islam and said there was no ethnic agenda behind the attack, urging Nigerians to unite and defeat terrorism in the country. Church in Chains has written to President Higgins' spokesperson to point out that many attacks, like the attack in Owo, are explicitly religiously motivated, targeting Christians as they gather together for worship, and that in many other attacks, perpetrators shout Allahu Akbar, the famous Muslim declaration often used as a battle cry by terrorists. Church in Chains also emphasized that language and the framing of a situation matters, and highlighted the need to listen to the voice of the victims.
This is God Talk on 90.3 Near FM.
Well, it's hard to imagine the horror of this deliberate attack that took out Nigeria, and it's not unique. There are so many of them going on there. I do think we need to pray for our Nigerian brothers and sisters in the north of the country particularly, but this one, of course, was towards the south, and very difficult times. Sometimes these things happen, like you might be watching the news about the war in Ukraine and things that are going on there, and just with your mouth open. And it's a shock for many people to think about the depravity of man. The man is so wicked at his core. And yet so many people make the big mistake. They think that fundamentally mankind is good and all, something went wrong. So just if you were to drill a bit deeper as to linking climate change to that horrific terrorist attack, it was a great mistake, I believe, and to do that. And but does it say something about this incredulity that mankind on his own could be so wicked? Well, I'd have to question that, because I believe that the only reason we're not seeing endless violence on the streets every day is because of the restraining hand of God, because God is holding back people, and causing many, of course, to come to know him and walk right with him. But even those who don't, there's many very well behaved and very good people who don't know God and don't walk with him, but they behave themselves because there's a restraint on their lives. And so that's just something I want to throw out there, is about the fundamental nature of mankind. So with that said, I'm going to switch gear a little bit, and I want to feel led to talk to you about Jonah today, because Jonah, everybody knows about Jonah and the whale, don't they? And that might be about all they know, and not know about the background. Well, one of the interesting things about Jonah is, where did he come from? Came from this little town called Nazareth. Heard about that before, didn't we? That's where Jesus came from. But geographically, it's very interesting where it's located. It's right at a crossroads between the major trade routes. So in a sense, it's kind of right, this, like the centre of the world, that. And here was Jonah. He was called by God as a prophet. to bring a message. And what's the first thing Jonah did? Well, let's have a look at the good book and see what it says. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, I'll say this, Nineveh was part of Assyria. And myself and my wife recently, we were in London, we were in the British Museum, we saw these huge statues all from ancient ancient Assyria. And boy, they were really oppressive and strong and all these gods and things like that. But it was a huge civilization. It was the lead civilization of its day. And what they did to the people to keep them terrorized and under control was they used to skewer them. It was awful what they did. They absolutely terrorized people. And now here's Jonah saying, go to that city with those terrorists and bring the word and tell them about their wickedness. Well, Jonah did what probably a lot of you and me might do, legged it in the opposite direction. He went down to the port and he found a boat going in the opposite direction off to Spain, and he paid his fare and he jumped in the boat. Eh? So skipping on, it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. And there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was on the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. It's another interesting bit. Not only was he like Jesus, came from Nazareth, but he also was like Jesus. He fell asleep in the bottom of a boat in the middle of a storm. It's another little parallel. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know from whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What's your country, and of what people are you? So he said to him, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up, throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. And I know that this great tempest is because of me. So there you go, the lads in the boat, they thought, great, let's peg him overboard. Not at all. No, it says, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. So you would think at this stage they'd throw him over, but no. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah, then threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Isn't that interesting? You know, another little parallel there about Jesus. He was asleep in the boat in the storm. When he got up, he spoke to the sea. And in this case, of course, they threw Jonah out. But again, another miracle. The sea became calm. God, who's in charge of the weather and charged the sea, he calmed it right there and then. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. So there you go. Jonah had his first converts. He didn't know about it because he was sinking down to the bottom of the ocean and drowning at this point in time. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. A lot of people think that Jonah got swallowed alive. I don't think so. Because if you see the testimony, it's later on. It's in this. Well, I'll read it actually. Jonah, he prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol, of course, the place of the dead. I cried, so I believe he was dead, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me, all your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, for I will look again towards your holy temple, The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. That means he went to the bottom. The earth, with its bars, closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. So here's what happened. Jonah drowned. He went to the bottom of the ocean. He died. He was separated from life. He was there dead. And I guess the fish swallowed him up. Thought, this foreign object in the water, what is it? Took it up, but didn't quite digest it fully. Probably kept it in his mouth, this grey fish. And Jonah then prayed at that point. And when my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who guard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. What a story. Jesus himself said that just like Jonah was in the great fish for 3 days and three nights, yeah, you know, so too will I be in the earth, you know. So Jesus was speaking about his own death, but it was a death he was speaking about. And so too there was a death here with Jonah, but there was a resurrection of sorts, and the fish vomited him up. Now, can you imagine the testimony of this guy who then went in to Nineveh to preach the word of God? He would have been stinking of whale oil. He would have been stinking of whatever the whale had for his dinner beforehand the night. He would have been stinking of seaweed, and he would have been looking like one great train wreck. That probably got attention before he went anywhere. And so what I want to do now is, well, we don't really have a lot of time left, so maybe I'll wait a minute or two and I'll do it. But I got a song from Ian White, and it's about Jonah, and it runs through the whole story. But I think there's a lot more on this, and we'll probably continue some of the theme next week about Jonah and what happened when he preached to this vast, vast city of Nineveh. And I was reminded this weekend, because I was in town and I hadn't been doing much evangelism for weeks or months even, and I was doing it this time. But beforehand, I noticed all the people coming hither and thither. Some were up for marches, some were up for matches, some were just up for shopping or Saturday afternoon, whatever. And but the city was buzzing. That's the best way you could put it. And you know, it was good. I got to talk to four lads, and it was a great chat we had about the Lord. And I didn't get your name, so hi to you guys if you're listening in. And why did I say all that? Well, I say all that because I think of Dublin like Nineveh. It's a city that's gone very, very, very wicked, and it needs repentance, and it needs to turn to God. You know, and God, in His great mercy, didn't judge the city at that time, but He had mercy on it. And very often mercy does triumph over judgment. God is a judge. He's perfectly entitled to judge the entire world and put an end to a lot of the stuff going on very quickly. But you know, in His mercy, the Word of God says that He wishes none to perish, but all to come to repentance. And I think that's a great word of encouragement. It shows the restraining hand of God over the depravity of sin that's going on these days, that God's desiring for people to be saved, people to be set free, come to know Him, just like the guys in the boat, you know. And so anyway, I'm going to pass it over now to Mr. Ian White, who's singing about Jonah. Oh, sorry, hang on a minute. Got to get the right version of this one. So I was nearly going to play a different version of Jonah, which wasn't very good, by a certain other artist. And so be patient here and we'll get there. So anyway, you're listening to God Talk, Anthony Brabazon here, and we're here every Monday actually at 5 p.m. 5 to 5:30. It's not that long, but it's we tend to make a power packed and lots of information in there to whet your appetite and hopefully turn you to the living God, you know, because this is what it's all about. It's about having a relationship with your Maker, you know. So so anyway, Jonah, Mr. Ian White.
Word of God to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go and tell the Ninevites, change your ways or die. Go and tell the Ninevites, change your ways or die. The word of God to Jonah, but he turns and runs away. Finds a boat to Tarshish, thinks that he'll be safe. Finds a boat to Tarshish, thinks that he'll be safe. Listen to the thunder, listen to the waves. I think there's gonna be a storm, I wonder if we'll be safe. Listen to the thunder, listen to the waves. I think there's gonna be a storm, I wonder if we'll be safe. Yes, I feel there's gonna be a storm, I wonder if we'll be safe. And where's our creature Jonah? He's sleeping down below. Seems as if he doesn't care how hard the winds will blow. Well, someone's causing trouble, a carrier of death. We'll take a vote, clear the boat, and we can save the rest. Then all the eyes on Jonah, we know that you're the one. Now tell us where you come from, tell us what you've done. Well, I know it's me you're after, I know I've tried to hide. Well, you can still the waters if you throw me on the side. What you do is up to you. Stay and die, or put me all the sides. Put him over the side. Oh Lord, have mercy on us if we put him over the sides. What you do is up to you. Stay and die, or put him over the side. I'm swirling in the darkness, blackness all around, and I'm choking on the water, and I'm scared I'm going to drown. Yes, I'm choking on the water, and I'm scared I'm going to drown. You never would believe it. It's too much to believe. I've been swallowed by a whale, and I find that I can breathe. Swallowed by a whale, find that I can breathe. Oh Lord, you've shown your mercy. Lord, you've shown your care. You brought me from the pit of death and kept me safe in here. Those who cling to worthless idols don't know the grace they lose. But all I say is thank you, and I sacrifice to you. Well, I've made a vow, I'll keep it, I know it can be true. Salvation cometh from the Lord, I know it comes from you. And suddenly, at the Lord's command, he finds himself standing on that piece of dry land.
You've been listening to God Talk with Anthony Brabazon. Our 24/7 comment, prayer and text line is 087-979-5454. Until next week, may you seek him, may you find him, and may you love him.